So Heavenly Father, we come tonight to honor Jesus. We come tonight to consider Him, to hear what You have to say to us by the Holy Spirit as we hear Your Word and as we read Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the day we have had. We're reminded to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. So for whatever each of us have faced today, we thank You for it. Some of it might be hard to thank You for, but we thank You. We don't just thank You for the blessings that You give to us and the happy days. We thank You for the sad days and the hard days. How we pray that You might help us to remove from our minds our own opinions and thoughts about Your Word and what we try to impose upon Your Word, and allow the purity, the power, the sharpness of the Word of God to penetrate our distracted minds, our opinionated minds. By the help of the Holy Spirit, may we hear Your Word, and may we find ourselves doers of Your Word. So, Lord Jesus, we honor You tonight. You are the Son of God, begotten of God, fully human. You are the radiant glory and the exact representation of the nature of the Father. You hold all things together by Your power, and You're the creator of all things. You're the head of the church. You are our apostle, our high priest. So we surrender and confess that we seek to follow You. So Lord, tonight it is good that we have the chance to pause and just for a little while to focus on something besides all the distractions in our lives. For what we study and think about tonight are eternal things. And the soul of every person in this room matters and is determined by their own commitment, decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and by faith to live by an enduring faith. We pray for those who are among us who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, who are curious, who perhaps experience some of the feelings that go and fellowship that goes with being with God's people and seeing what God can do, but do not know You as Lord and Savior. How we pray that they might tonight hear Your voice, not harden their heart, but call to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Thank You, Lord, for the fellowship of our church. We pray for the people and our boys and girls, students, and all of our adults who study other places all around the campus. We thank You for them all. Thank You for allowing us to do this together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good evening. It's good to see all of you. And we'll go to Hebrews chapter 3 again, and I hope you picked up a copy of the outline and you have it there with you. It'll be helpful for you tonight as we talk about the greater rest of salvation in Jesus Christ. All right, now Shauna on October the 11th is going to have this child. Shauna, the one who sings so beautifully, amen? So beautifully. So, that's right. I mentioned this to you last week. If you'd like to participate in this, a gift card and a diaper shower for Levi and Shauna Clutinati is September the 30th, Sunday morning. You can bring your items to the church, and if you have any questions, you can call Jennifer Patterson, or just call the church, and Lori Snow can help you with that. But we'd love for all of you to participate. Shauna and Levi and the others, they sacrifice and come and bless us every Wednesday night, and they are a blessing to us. Would you agree? Everyone, would you agree? They are a blessing. They prepare to do that on top of all their day and what they've gone through. I want to start tonight by, before we read God's Word, to again remind you of the importance of some essential principles for biblical interpretation. How do we interpret the Bible? When these principles are forgotten or when they're neglected, people come up with all kinds of strange ideas from the Word of God. So we must keep these things in balance as we study the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews requires you to think. The book of Hebrews is one of the most logically laid out, written to these Jews, Jewish Hebrews, a mixed group, some who were believers in Jesus Christ, others who were professing but were considering whether they were going to stay with it. They weren't really saved. They were professing and confessing Jesus, but were thinking about going back because it was a hard time. And there were unbelievers who were among them who, just kind of the same way it is in church today. I always believe this every time I preach, that we preach to people, some unbelievers, some living in false assurance, professing to be Christians, but their lifestyle is no different from anybody else on the street, and those who have enduring faith. We want everybody to be saved, but everybody's not saved. We don't like that. We wish everyone was saved. And the false notion, as I've mentioned to you before, that runs in this part of the world is, yes, I believe historically that Jesus died on a cross, therefore I'm saved. No, that's a big jump. And this is the challenge of the book of Hebrews. So, I believe Paul the Apostle is behind these words, written most likely by a secretary, as many of his other books were. These thoughts are powerfully strong. They're very much like Paul. So I'll say Paul, you can pick whoever you want. But since I'm teaching, I get to say it. We have to identify the kind of biblical literature that we read. So we've done this together on Wednesday nights for a long time. The Psalms, poetic. Proverbs, poetic. Ecclesiastes, poetic. Song of Solomon, poetic. But we now come, so we have the historical books, we have this letter, this letter to the Hebrews. So we look at this, these 13 chapters put together magnificently under the inspiration of God, written in the form of a sermon. It's just what I try to do. You know, sometimes I have to say to people when I'm preaching, I'm not mad. I'm just exhorting. I'm doing my job. It's what a preacher does. And so these exhortations are strong, and the passion and the feeling is this. These words are to show the superiority of Jesus Christ over the entire Jewish system. So we must consider the context of the passages to understand their meaning. You never take these words out of, you know, whether it's Isaiah speaking or whether it's Jeremiah or whatever. It's wonderful to have these precious words that we take for ourselves, but they were first spoken historically to some groups of people. So these words, as we have them here, historically were given to these Hebrews, Jewish believers, those who were curious, who were there among the church, others. So we read the text for the plain and obvious meaning. We don't try to invent, be fancy, we don't try to impose upon the text of the Word of God. We take it and we look at it. That's why I'm spending so much, on Wednesday night, we're spending so much time on this. We read it for its plain and obvious meaning. We must understand the writer's intention. Paul's concern was that some of these who said they were followers of Jesus were going to go back. It was too hard to follow Jesus. Nobody put you under great pressure to come to church tonight and threaten to take your property, threaten to kill you, threaten to put you in jail. So we have somewhat of a difficulty understanding the passion, the power, the persuasion, the exhortation that's built in the book of Hebrews. So we must remember it based on the writer's intention and where he was when he was speaking these things. Most likely with the temple still in operation. Most likely with, as I say to you all the time, the smoke pouring out and the blood flowing on Temple Mount. With a high priest in place and a Jewish system all set that for generations the Jews understood. That's why this masterful, beautiful book takes every piece of Judaism, of Jewish religion, and shows there is only one who is superior to it all, and he is the promised one. Jesus Christ is better than the entire system. Amen? That's the essence. But then there's the appeal to these who are hearing it and are coming around it and listening. And that's what we sometimes get confused by. Look carefully at the language of the text for the meaning of the text. That's why I spend the time with you on Wednesday nights especially, trying to labor over some of the words. What do they mean? What did they mean when they were written in the Greek language? How does Paul take the Old Testament and speak on it? Tonight, this is a masterful piece of work, beautiful piece of work, taking Psalm 95 and expanding and giving us commentary on it. It's magnificent. I will do no justice in my comments to the magnificence of these words. I'll do the best I can. They are unbelievable. They are wholly inspired words. And they require of us a devotion and a reverence as we come to them to hear them. Tonight we hear the Word of God. And then we compare Scripture to Scripture to understand key meanings of a text. So some would find, you know, if you're going to have an idea about whether someone is eternally saved or lost, you cannot take one passage. You take all of the body of Scripture, and as you look at all of what is said on this topic, you come to an understanding. You don't take one piece by itself. If it's water baptism, as some, you know, believe that you have to be baptized to be saved, you don't take isolated, you take all of Scripture to describe and help you understand these primary doctrines that we talk about. And when you don't, you cause yourself great stress if you're serious about God's Word, and you can be led into great error. So tonight, we come to read again from Hebrews chapter 3. We'll pick up beginning at verse where we ended last week. We ended at verse number 6. I'm going to read that again. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says... Now the Holy Spirit is speaking. Psalm 95. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. but encourage one another day after day as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, second time now, today, while it is said, notice we're listening. Something's being said. God in these last days has spoken through His Son. Now the Holy Spirit is speaking through the Word of God. Psalm 95, while it is said today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you, may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had the good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as He has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although His works were finished from the foundation of the world, for He has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, He again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, it's been said before, it's being said again, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered His rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from His. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So this is, we're called again in chapter 3, verse 1. Well, we heard this before. We've seen, so let me follow the exhortations. First, in these last days, Hebrews 1, 2, God has spoken to us in His Son. Chapter 2, verse 1, for this reason, pay closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Some hear it and they don't receive it. Some receive it for a while and then It's choked out. The Lord taught us the parable of the sower and how people hear the word of God in four ways. We cannot escape if we neglect so great a salvation. And some were choosing to neglect it. It's a mixed group. How do you preach the word of God to a mixed group of people? The book of Hebrews helps us to understand the responsibility of man in trusting in Jesus Christ by faith. This is at the core. It's a book about enduring faith. Enduring faith is faith that's assured. It's eternally secure faith. But it's not tied to simply believing. See, this is our struggle. This is our struggle. So we learn these things tonight by breaking them apart. This is such a detailed set of materials. I wanted you to see the breaks. And the beauty is that we have here a classic form of, please, I'm being a little technical here. This is a classic form of Jewish thought, parallelism. So if you noticed my outline, you probably said, well, Pastor Mike, you repeated everything twice. Yes. Because Paul repeats it twice. This was the pattern. And so if you'll notice how he's taken Psalm 95, he's picked out two very important things around which this entire section is woven. Verse 7, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. Then you find it again in verse 15. While it is said today, the word today is very important in this entire section. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. And then in chapter 4, verse 3, we find the end of Psalm 95 that's quoted. As I swore in my wrath, these are the words of God, because they would not believe the children of Israel in those days of rebellion, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And then again, one more appeal, chapter 4, verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. This is the call of God. This is why we preach. This is why we do evangelism. Levi sent me a thing he did the other day. He was sharing the gospel with a pizza guy. I loved it. Thank you for sharing it with me, brother. So now that man must decide if he will hear the voice and respond or harden his heart. And every one of us who shares the gospel, when you're going out there and you're talking to people, today, if you would hear his voice, you see there is responsibility here. So we have here what I would call the testing of our profession. The testing of our profession or our confession. Notice in chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. He's talking. So you have this mixed. We have Paul talking about those who are believers and have enduring faith, along with those who still profess but want to go back or are falling away and going back. Not saved people. This is the mixture. This is why it's so hard to take this and unearth it. And then the danger is that we somehow try to make Israel like the church. No, remember, Israel was Israel. And so we're reading Psalm 95. David, speaking about what happened in Moses' day. A second time, and now, this is the beauty of it. Paul now mentions it for the day he was writing to these Hebrews, and it's still today. Are you hearing me? It's still today. It's not tomorrow. It's not yesterday. It's today. This is such a powerful, powerful place. So this is a challenge. So in verse 1 of chapter 3, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. We must make the good confession. Those who trust in Jesus must make the good confession. We've talked about this. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Paul mentioned to Timothy, you made the good confession in front of many witnesses. You see, coming to know Jesus is making the good confession. We've made a confession. I am now a follower of Jesus, but are you going back? Then how can you be a follower of Jesus and go back? Those who truly follow Jesus, and that's where we came to this first division of what we see tonight. Those who belong to God's house live by enduring faith. That was verse number 6. Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house, and please notice the use of these pronouns, we are. If, who are the we? Those who hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. So in Paul's great work in Philippians talking about salvation by grace, he also reminds us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You see, we have responsibility. Salvation isn't done to us. Salvation is provided to those who will receive it. And confession is the way we do it. So this is a story. This is a book built around those who they were experiencing powerful things. We read this earlier. I'm doing all of this pre-work to get us ready to move through this. We read earlier that they had seen miracles. They had seen and experienced these Hebrews so many different things. I'll read it to you again. It's in the exhortation about giving heed, paying attention to what you've heard, chapter 2, verse 4. God testified with them both by signs and wonders and various miracles, by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Jesus was being preached. Miracles were happening. There were all kinds of things happening in the early church, and people were caught up in it. They felt it. Listen to me, but that doesn't mean you're saved. I've had people tell me all my life, well, I've had this feeling, Pastor. I said, well, is it indigestion? You need a Rolaid? What do you mean you have a feeling? Have you made the confession? Do you still confess when it's hard and when everybody's against you? Do you still confess Jesus when everybody else forsakes you? Do you still confess Jesus in the daylight, in the dark, in the hardness, in the goodness, in the joy? Enduring faith. Those who are truly saved, as the Lord Jesus teaches us, hold firm until the end. So, look at the division. It's very clear. Verse 6, we are his household. If we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Oh, the just shall one time believe in faith. Is that what that says? The just shall lifestyle. Live my entire life trusting in Jesus and believing God's promises about what he will do and about what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. This is the story of salvation. The just live by faith. So the first division is verse 6. The second division is verse 14. We're partakers. We talked about this before. Believers are called partakers. We share in the heavenly calling. We share in it together. Those of us who are followers of Jesus, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, we are partakers. We share. We share this. You have become a partaker of Christ, of the Messiah. He uses the term. If we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. This is the message of the book of Hebrews. And some of us don't like that. Well, that sounds like I got to do something. Yes. You were saved when you first came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You continue to be saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved as you believe in the coming of Jesus. Amen. Can anybody hear me? This is what it's all about. It's the life of faith. that Paul is describing here. Then he does this masterful job of talking in the third place about the rest of God, the greater rest of God that comes in Jesus Christ. Now, I haven't even got started, and I've only got 10 minutes. So, we won't get very far, but I don't make any apologies. We must do it this way if we're going to go through it. So let's look at Psalm 95, which is quoted in 7 through 11, and I'll move through these quickly. Those who belong to God's house live by enduring faith. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart like Israel in the wilderness. So this is a call and an appeal to those in the crowd, to those who would read this letter to the Hebrews. Whatever their condition, some were there who were in danger of hardening their hearts. The whole point of this is the peril of unbelief. Hardness of heart is a sign to unbelief. If the just live by faith, hardness of heart, no matter how much you're at the church house, if you live with hard-heartedness, you're not saved. If you do not believe, you're not saved. Well, I feel good when I'm here. That's great. I love to be around God's people. I love the music. I love the atmosphere. That's great. But as I've said many times, it's not in the book of Hebrews, but going to church no more makes you a Christian than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Or even reading your Bible. So there is a false assurance that people carry. Say, Pastor Mike, you're trying to scare people? I'm just trying to preach the Bible here. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you've seen God's work, notice what it says here. As in the day of trial, when the fathers tried me and tested me, they saw my works for 40 years. They saw God do miracle after miracle for 40 years. And today, if you hear His voice, don't grieve God. God's grief was this generation always goes astray in their heart and they do not know my ways. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart, because if you harden your heart, there's no promise of rest. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So, take care, brethren. A Hebrew to Hebrews, brethren, to all of you. Take care that there not be in any one of you. Notice this phrase because it appears twice. Did you see it? Verse 12. Take care that there be not in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Verse chapter 4, verse 1, therefore let us fear if while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. Falling away and coming short of it. That's what it means to be around all of God's people, to hear God's word, to hear all about it, and not be saved. I like what one writer said when he was talking about this phrase of falls away from the living God, this idea of this evil, unbelieving heart. You fall away from God to the degree that you have come close to the work of God. The love of His people, the light of His word, the privileges of prayer, the gifts, the miracles in the Spirit, this was all happening. The blessings of His providence, the daily revelation, the blessings. It is possible to taste of these things, to be deeply affected by these spiritual realities, and to be lost in unbelief. Because Jesus Christ is not your heart's delight, hope, confidence, and reward. Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and they shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father will. So we have these phrases, we are, verse 6, verse 14, we have. And then we have in chapter 4, verse 3, we believed, and we who believed entered that rest. You can't have the rest of God and then not have it. You can't be a partaker and then not be a partaker. You can't. You see, again, this is an exhortation. This is an exhortation to a mixed group of people. Some who have a false assurance that they are saved. So today, secondly, those who are partakers of Christ live an enduring faith. Verse 14. If you hold fast the beginning of our assurance, firm until the end. We've seen it in church ministry all our life. Some come quickly. They come to be saved. They're excited. They can't wait to be there the next week. And over a period of time, as much as you do to try to help them, as much as you try to do to minister and disciple them, they're gone. Demas has left us having loved this world. It happened in the ministry of Paul, John. They have gone out from us because they were not among us. This pattern has been true from the beginning of the church. So those who are of God's house live by an enduring faith. I live by faith until the end. As a partaker of Christ, I live by faith and I enter into God's rest. This is the beauty of the next section. But we have become partakers of Christ if we hold on, while it is said today, if you hear His voice. And then He asks these questions. This is a classic. This is what you do in a sermon. Who provoked Him when they heard? All those who were with Moses. This is commentary on Psalm 95. And with whom was God angry for 40 years? It was with those who sinned out of unbelief and disbelief. And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? He's making His point that those who choose to not hear because of hard-heartedness and sin and willing to be disobedient and not call upon the name of the Lord to be saved will never enter God's rest. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, so you see the parallel. That's the parallel between those two sections. And it's very clear. You know, Paul said in another place, he said 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. I've said this to you before. It's a very serious thing, especially in the part of the country we live in. Daddy was a preacher. Grandpa was a deacon. Mom and all of us, all the family, they all taught Sunday school. Okay. That doesn't make you saved because you have a godly heritage. Well, like the fellow told me, I'm an American, so I'm saved. Oh, my soul and my body. Guy told me that. I was door to door knocking on doors. I mean, he was happy as can be, had his beer in his hand. I told him I was from the church. Said, hey, preacher, I'm saved. I'm an American. Come on in. You want a beer? No. So then we come to chapter 4 and we find next week the believer's rest. This is so glorious. This is so good. I don't want to go into it and rush through it. We only have 4 minutes. But here's what I would say to you tonight. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. By the way, you'll find next week the beautiful thing about this is we have all this all the way through about who is speaking, who He said, they said, and then we have these glorious words about the Word of God. And that's what we've been looking at tonight. The Word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Here's what I would ask you. Upon what have you based your confidence that you are going to heaven? On what you do, on your family heritage, or have you considered Jesus? I will read it just because it's such a good verse as we close. For indeed, 4:2, we have had good news preached to us. Aren't you glad you've heard the good news? just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them. See, some hear and some don't hear in the same room when the gospel's preached, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. So we believe by faith, enduring faith, firm until the end. That's why we read these wonderful words such as James and Peter talk about, the testing of your faith. Are you all hearing me? The testing of your faith demonstrates the genuineness of your faith. That's why this book is so important, because endurance and pressure on our faith helps us to determine and see whether we really have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord give us wisdom and help. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, may we hear your voice. May we not harden our hearts and live in unbelief and be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. And we pray for those who hear the word of God who have hard hearts. They cannot believe. They choose not to believe. They will not change their lifestyle. They will not surrender. They will not follow you. They choose to say they are a follower of Jesus, but still live in ungodliness, in their words and their gossip and their cynicism and their attacks on people, and their lifestyle. How we pray that you might help us all to hold on to our faith firm and to the end, no matter what kind of circumstances we are challenged by. We know that it is making our faith as precious as gold. We thank you, Lord, that we have the chance to faithfully endure by the help of the Holy Spirit and with our friends as we gather together. That's why we need each other, Lord, and you teach us that. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. It's been a good night to be together. Bless these dear people as they go to their homes and all the things they face this week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Don't forget now, gift cards and diapers. Levi's going to be changing a lot of diapers. Adam, you know, you get trained, don't you? God bless you all. Have a good evening. Say hello to somebody on your way out. See you Sunday.